Trouble according to Humphrey, chapter 8, double trouble. Trouble rhymes with double. Believe me, I was thinking about double trouble that night. Art's good mark in the maths test was cause for celebration. Art becoming friends with Paul was cause for celebration. Seth still sitting still, or at least not popping up out of his chair every few seconds, was cause for celebration. But I had not done one thing to help Miranda, whom I'd got into trouble, and now Mandy clearly was having some kind of trouble I didn't understand. Lately I'd been spinning more to keep my mind off my friend's troubles. I was spinning so much I wasn't eating all the food I had stored away in various places in my cage. All hamsters know that it's a good idea to have some food stashed away in case of emergency. Og, being a classroom pet, may not be an important job, but it's not an easy job either, I squeaked to my neighbour, because we've got to try and keep all our friends out of trouble. Boing, boing, he twanged back at me. He's a very wise frog. I'm worried about Miranda, I breathlessly explained, without stopping my wheel. Boing, Og did a giant leap. And I'm worried about Mandy, I said. Boing, boing. Og jumped up and down twice. I knew he was worried about Mandy as well. And I can't think of one single thing to do that would help either one of them. Can you? From Og, silence. This was not a good sign. I got out my notebook and decided to make a plan. To make a plan, it helps to make a list. So I wrote, plan to help Miranda, 1. I started at that 1 and I stared some more. No matter how hard I stared at it, I couldn't think of anything to write. The only way I could help Miranda would be to prove to Mrs. Brisbane and the whole class that she didn't leave my door unlocked. And the only way I could prove that was to let everyone know and see that my lock didn't lock, which meant that someone would have to put a new lock on my cage and I would never be able to get out again. I wouldn't be able to have any more exciting adventures, and more importantly, it would be a lot harder for me to help my friends. I closed my notebook and went into my sleeping hut. I couldn't sleep because every time I closed my eyes, I saw Miranda's face in front of me. I couldn't stand that for long, so I crawled out of my sleeping hut and went over to the side of the cage closest to Og. I tried to make a plan, but I didn't get very far. Og sat there like the lumpy, bumpy frog he is and blinked his eyes. That is, the only plan I can think of would mean I'd be locked in my cage forever. Og sat as motionless as the rock he was sitting on. Well, you must have some ideas. I was practically pleading with him now. He didn't even look at me. But I'd learned an interesting fact in science class. Frogs can see all around them without moving their heads because they have 360-degree vision. That's good because they don't have much in way of necks. I know you can see me, Og, and I know you can hear me, even though you don't have any ears that I can see. Are you ignoring me? It appeared that he was. Are you trying to think of a plan too? Og jumped up and let out a very loud boing. I was so startled, I jumped backwards and hit my head on the wheel. Our strange conversation, which to humans would sound like a golden hamster squeaking and a golden frog twanging, ended abruptly when the door handle rattled. The lights came on and Aldo pushed his trolley into the room. I'm back, he said. His greeting didn't sound as warm and cheery as usual. In fact, he parked his trolley in front of my cage and let out a loud yawn. Sorry, fellows, I'm kind of tired tonight. I've been studying and writing papers and working and... Oh, yeah, don't want to hear about my problems, do you? Yes, 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 I squeaked. Because if your friends won't listen to your problems, who will? Aldo pulled up a chair and took out his supper. He yawned again. I've been working and studying more than I'm sleeping. I suppose I'm knocked out. After he chewed his sandwich in silence for a few minutes, he opened his bag. Oh, I must be tired. I almost forgot. Humphrey, here's a tomato, thanks to Aldo Amato. It was a perfect plump cherry tomato, the kind that usually makes my whiskers wiggle with joy. But I've been thinking so much about my problems, I didn't feel much like eating. Thanks, I squeaked. Aldo didn't notice that I was unusually quiet because he was yawning again. You know, guys, I think I'll take a short nap. I'll work twice as fast if I can just rest my eyes for a few minutes. Right? To my amazement, Aldo rolled up his jacket, sat in his chair and, using the jacket as a pillow, put his head on the table and closed his eyes. He was sound asleep in a matter of seconds. He really must have been tired. It was quiet in room 26, with only the tick, tick, tick of the clock, which I couldn't hear in the daytime, counting off each second. "Do you think he'll sleep for a long time?" I squeaked to Og. "After all, he has work to do." Og dived into the water and went for a swim. Big help he was. Aldo looked peaceful, dozing there. Still, the hands of the clock kept moving round and round. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. At one point, Aldo moved. Good, he's waking up. But instead, he rolled his head to the other side and kept on sleeping. Og, how many rooms do you think he has to clean? I asked. After all, Aldo had a big responsibility, getting all the rooms in Longfellow School clean each night. Classrooms have a way of getting messy, with squashed grains, crushed chalk, and lots of scuff marks on the floor. Og splashed again as he climbed back onto his rock. When I glanced over, I saw he was staring down at Aldo too. I wouldn't want him to lose his job. I know how terrible Miranda felt when she lost her job. Og let out a big twangy boing. Aldo didn't move a muscle. He was really sound asleep. I checked the clock. Aldo had been sleeping for 1 hour. At this rate, I wasn't sure he could get his job done, at least not as well as he usually did it. We'd better wake him, I squeaked to Og. I took my friend's silence to mean yes. On the count of three, okay, Oggy? 1, 2, 3. Og and I let loose with a series of squeaks and boings. That was quite amazing, even alarming. Aldo remained fast asleep. How else could one small hamster and one small frog wake up their sleeping friend? Then I remembered something that was bad, bad, bad. However, in this case, it might turn out to be good, good, good. Once, when I was riding on the bus home with, lower your voice, AJ, mean Martin Bean, the bus bully, told him to be quiet. When AJ kept talking, Martin took some paper. Wadded it into a small little ball, threw it in his mouth to wet it. Then he threw it and hit AJ in the neck. Yuck, AJ had said, rubbing his neck. That wad of wet paper had made an impression, and I thought of a plan. I gathered together some of my bedding material, which was shredded paper, and tried to mould it into a ball. Being a clean and sanitary hamster, I wasn't going to put the stuff in my mouth. Instead, I went to my water bottle and tapped it so that a few drops trickled down onto the paper until I was able to shape it into a ball. I worked it between my paws until it was as round and smooth as a ball. I went to the side of my cage and looked down at Aldo, who was sleeping peacefully. Then I had a terrible thought. I was a small hamster after all. How could I be sure I could throw the ball so it would hit Aldo on the neck and wake him up? I'd have to throw it with all my might. Even though I was strong from spinning on my wheel and climbing ladders and tree branches, I was tiny compared to Aldo. Then I remembered gravity. Mrs. Brisbane had explained gravity to us in science. She's an excellent teacher. Gravity is a force that pulls things towards the ground. It's the reason we don't float above the ground all the time, which might be fun for a while, but not all the time. I realised I would have the power of gravity on my side. The ball would naturally go down, and if I aimed it correctly, put my full force behind it, I should be able to wake Aldo up. I stopped to think about what I was doing. It was wrong for Martin to throw that spitball at AJ. Could it be wrong to help Aldo keep his job? I explained my mission to Og. I'm ready to fire on Aldo and wake him up. Do you think it's a good idea? Boing, 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 boing. I think he was agreeing. Making sure I could clear the bars on my cage, I concentrated on a small portion of Aldo's neck and let loose. The ball slammed downwards directly towards Aldo's neck. I crossed my paws, hoping this would work, Bingo! The paper ball hit him square in the neck. His hand went up to rub the spot, and best of all, his eyes opened. He mumbled sleepily. He sat up, glanced, Mamma mia, I've been asleep for an hour. Aldo leapt to his feet, grabbed his broom. I thought I'd just nap for a few minutes. You guys should have woken me up. If I lose this job, I won't be able to afford to go to school. Sometimes humans don't give credit where credit is due, but all I cared about was Aldo keeping his job. Phew, don't have to hustle to get all my work done now. I do feel better, though. Aldo pushed his broom round the room like an artist painting a masterpiece. We saw a great film showing a famous artist at work. I like seeing films in class. He missed the spitball on the floor, but at least he didn't notice it. Phew. He finished cleaning the room in half his usual time. Got to run, guys. Catch you tomorrow night, he said as he raced out of the door with his trolley. Og and I sat in silence for a while, listening to the clock tick, tick, ticking away. I'm really glad that worked, I finally squeaked. Og jumped so high he hit the cover of his glasshouse and almost popped the top. Boing, boing, he twanged. For once, I knew exactly what he meant. Even though I'd kept Aldo out of trouble, I had a lot more work to do. Longfellow caretaker attends local college. Aldo Amato says the extra hours of studying will be well worth it once he becomes a teacher. The Humphreyville Herald.